as a your instruction to us and to guide us and direct us in life, but most of all to point us back to you and to remind us of what it costs for a relationship with you to be reinstated. And we thank you for Jesus, who died and rose again on our behalf to deal with the sin problem that we have between us and you. Thank you that you forgive us when we put our faith in Christ, and thank you for your word today, which just instructs us how we might live as believers in you, and what that means in our life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So in life, we go through lots of trials, and they come in various shapes and forms. And I'm sure you've had some hard times, some challenges and trials in your life. And some of those are caused just by general circumstances which you engage in life, things that come across your pathway and things go wrong, and it causes grief in your life. Sometimes they are caused because you're a Christian, and opposition that you might receive from people who are opposed to your belief system in God. And so a lot of trials come through the fact that we may be a believer in Christ. And that's what we're primarily looking at this morning in the scriptures. But sometimes trials are also caused by our own self-infliction. And the way we do things sometimes causes grief in our lives, which exacerbates the problems that we have. And I just want to start by reading a accident report to an insurance company by a man who had submitted a claim for his accident that he happened at work, and the insurance company asked him to explain his claim. And so this was his report of his claim in response to that. He says, "I am writing in response to your request for additional information. In paragraph number 3 of the accident report form, I put poor planning as the cause of my accident. You said in your letter that I should explain more fully, and I trust that the following details will be sufficient. I am a bricklayer by trade. On the day of the accident, I was working alone on the roof of a 10-storey building. When I completed my work, I discovered that I had about 500 pounds of bricks left over. Rather than carry them down by hand, I decided to lower them to the ground in a barrel by using a pulley, which fortunately was attached to the side of the building at the 10th floor. Securing the rope at ground level, I went to the roof and loaded the 500 pounds of bricks, then went back down to the ground and untied the rope, holding it tightly to ensure a slow descent of the 500 pounds of bricks. You will note in the paragraph 11 of the accident report that I weigh 135 pounds. Due to my surprise at being jerked off the ground so suddenly, I lost my presence of mind and forget to let go of the rope. Needless to say, I proceeded at a rapid rate up the side of the building. In the vicinity of the 5th floor, I met the barrel coming down. This explains the fractured skull and the broken collarbone. I continued my rapid ascent, not stopping until the fingers of my right hand were 2 knuckles deep into the pulley. Fortunately, by this time I had regained my presence of mind and was able to hold tightly to the rope in spite of my pain. At approximately the same time, however, the barrel of bricks hit the ground and the bottom fell out of the barrel. Devoid of the weight of the bricks, the barrel now weighed approximately 30 pounds. I refer you again to my weight in paragraph number 11. As you might imagine, I began a rapid descent down the side of the building. In the vicinity of the 5th floor, I met that barrel coming up again. This accounts for the 2 fractured ankles and lacerations of my legs and lower body. The second encounter with the barrel slowed me enough to lessen my injuries when I fell into the pile of bricks. And fortunately, only 3 vertebrae were cracked. I'm sorry to report, however, that as I lay there on the bricks, in pain and unable to stand, watching the empty barrel 10 stories above me, I again lost my presence of mind and I let go of the rope. Some trials are self-inflicted. In our reading today, we see that the Apostle Paul was so concerned about the trials and persecutions that the new believers in Thessalonica were suffering that he sent Timothy to establish and encourage them in their faith. Remembering, of course, that Paul, on his second missionary journey, had ventured into Europe out of the Middle East and had started a church in Thessalonica, which is in the southern part of Europe, around the Macedonia area. And he didn't have a lot of time there because he was sort of driven out of town because the opposition that he faced from those who didn't like what he was proclaiming. And so he was concerned about the state of the new believers that were in that town, in that city. And he was concerned that because of the pressure and trials and persecution that they were facing, that they might renege on their faith, they might turn away from the Lord and not continue on with him. And so we read in chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, he says, "Therefore, when we could no longer endure it, we thought it good to be left in Athens alone, and sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God and our fellow labourer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and encourage you concerning your faith, that no one should be shaken by these afflictions, for you yourselves know that we are appointed to this." And these Christians had been persecuted because of their confession of Christ, and this was a critical time for these young converts. And Satan was probably doing his best to convince them that they were wrong after all becoming Christians. In verse 5 in this chapter, Paul says, "For this reason, when I could no longer endure it, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter," that is Satan, "had tempted you, and our labour might be in vain." So Paul sent Timothy, his young co-worker, back to Thessalonica while he stayed in Athens. And it would have been interesting to hear Timothy as he taught these believers to expect opposition, to bear it bravely and to even rejoice in it. To explain to them that this was part and parcel of being a Christian, to have trials and hardships. And we don't often make that a prerequisite of our gospel presentation when we're encouraging people to put their faith in Jesus. We don't often talk about the hardships that sometimes that life brings when we are trusting in God and people don't like what we believe in. But he explained to them that we must expect that there will be some form of persecution waiting us. And sometimes we try and make the gospel very palatable, so that people clearly see that all the good things that they gain from becoming a Christian, which are very true. But sometimes we underemphasize the challenges that we may be confronted with in being a Christian. But the Christian life is always going to be filled with various levels of hardship, challenges, and difficulties. It's part and parcel of life itself, and no one is exempt. And the Bible talks a lot about the trials that we might go through, and it reminds us that God doesn't usually take us out of our trials, but he clearly tells us that he is with us through those trials. He is our strength, he is our guide, he is the one who gives encouragement to us through them. And at times our trials can be extra challenging for us who are believers. There'll be more opposition when we live for the Lord. It is something to be expected. And that was true of these Thessalonian believers in this city. They were confronted with persecution and hardship right from the start. So no wonder Paul was anxious about how they were going. And so he sent Timothy to them to encourage and exhort them, and then to bring back word to see how they were getting on and whether the little fledgling church was still going okay there in Thessalonica. And I wonder if you've ever felt like what these young Christians would have been feeling like, that maybe this was too hard. Maybe questioning your faith, or you're standing with God when you're going through trials and asking, "Why are these things happening to me? Have I done something wrong? Have I sinned against God and he's not happy with me?" And Timothy reminds these believers that this wasn't something strange at all that they were going through. that this was actually normal to expect opposition and expect hardship, expect trials for being just a Christian, to trusting in God. And this morning I just want to share briefly with us some lessons that we can learn from going through the trials of life. For whatever cause those trials are brought upon us, there's things that we can learn through them. And there's five things I just want to point out that we can learn through difficult times, through trials and challenges in our life. And the first one is that they prove the reality of our faith. And they weed out those who are mere professors of faith. You know, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7, when Peter was writing this letter, he says to his readers, the believers he's writing to, he says that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honour and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Peter was saying that their faith was going to be tested, and it was almost like going through the fire. And he says, I trust that you will be able to come through the other side and be able to testify of God's goodness to you when you come through that trial. And that trial would be a demonstration of your faith to others. And that's what trials do. They can test us greatly, but they can prove the reality of our faith when we're hanging on to God for all we're worth. And it makes us lean strongly on Him when we're going through tough times. You know, in the 4th century AD, there's a Roman emperor who was took over in the Roman Empire, and his name was Constantine. And when he saw the Christian church and its growth in those first 3 centuries, it went through very difficult times of persecution. After we have what's written for us in the scripture, the early church continued to grow, but it was through a lot of persecution. And Constantine, we're not sure whether he actually became a believer himself, but he became very positive and open towards Christians. And he saw the blessings that was coming to the Christians through their faith. And so he made Christianity the state religion of the empire at that particular time, about 320 AD. And you know what happened in that process? A lot of people jumped on board the Christian church. They thought, well, this is great. The emperor's endorsing Christianity. And he gave them blessings and benefits from being a Christian. And so many came on board and said, I want to be a Christian. And yet they didn't truly come to faith in Christ. They just wanted the perks that came along with it because the emperor had granted them. So what happened in the Christian church was that it became weaker. It became diminished in its strength because there were people who were just hangers on to the church who were saying, we want the benefits of this Christianity. We don't really want to serve the God who has given his all for us through dying on the cross for us. And so the church became weaker, and it had much, false teaching came into the church because of that situation. Whereas when it was going through very difficult times, the church became pure, and it was purified because of the persecution that the Christians faced. They had to stand strong for Christ during those times. But that wasn't the case when it was made the state religion of the Roman Empire. And when Christianity is comfortable and popular, then there will be many who will give allegiance to Christianity, who will claim to be Christian but may not have a clue about what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. But when there is severe persecution, then it will be only those who have a clear and strong faith in Christ who know they're standing before God and who fully understand that the Christian faith is not a religion that you take and leave at your will, but that it is a relationship with the living God. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ who becomes our life. And it will be those people who remain loyal despite the opposition and the persecution. And Paul was concerned, the Apostle Paul was concerned that the devil had induced these saints in Thessalonians to recant and that his labour there would have been in vain, having had to leave so soon after establishing the church there. But when Timothy came back to report to him, he was pleasantly surprised when he heard the report from Timothy. And Timothy gave a good report of how things were going. The second thing that we can learn from trials is that they enable us to comfort others. And if we just divert from Thessalonians for a moment to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 3 and 4, Paul, who is writing this letter, also said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our comfort also abounds through Christ." What Paul's saying there is that when we go through trials and hardships and difficult times and challenges in our life, there's lessons that we can learn through those which can help other people. Sometimes we wonder what other people can learn from us, but sometime down the track you realise that you've got something to share of your experience which can help someone else who's facing a similar thing. And the hardships that you have to endure in your Christian experience are not isolated events. They're not totally unrelated to everything else and everybody else. No, the reason that God allows you to go through trying times is that you might learn how to trust him more, and that you'll be able to assist somebody else who is going through the same trial in their life. It may not be for some time, but rest assured there'll be a time ahead of you when somebody will need your comfort, your support, your encouragement for the experiences that they are going through. And so your experiences are not wasted experiences. They can teach you much, and they can also be used by God for you to comfort and encourage others. Third thing that we can learn through trials is that they develop certain qualities in our character. In Romans chapter 5 and verses 3 to 5, we read in the beginning of this chapter, verse 1, it says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us." Paul, the writer of Romans, says that the trials, the challenges, the hardships that we go through develop your character. If accepted and responded to in the right spirit, they will teach you some important lessons. And perseverance is one of those, which is a crucial quality that will stand us in good stead. Living in a world of low commitment, where it is difficult to get people committed to anything for any length of time, perseverance is a highly valued character quality in any person. It's too easy to toss in the towel when things become difficult. But the real lessons that God wants to teach us come through stickability, patience, and perseverance. Hanging in there when the going is tough, not tossing in the towel. And that's what God calls us to as we serve him. There will be tough times that we go through, but as we go through them, we can learn perseverance and character development and hope in God as we experience those things. The fourth thing that trials can teach us is that they help to remove the dross from our lives. Remember that man Job? We have a whole book written about him in the Old Testament. He has some very tough times. who's going through a horrendous experience, being the pawn in the midst of a cosmic wager. And he had many trials. And right in the middle of his experience, in chapter 23, in verses 8 to 10, he says these words. He says, "Look, I go forward, but he, God, is not there. And backwards, but I cannot perceive him. When he works on the left hand, I cannot behold him. And when he turns to the right hand, I cannot see him. But he knows the way that I take. And when he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold." Job's experience was a very tough one. He lost nearly all his family. He lost nearly all he had. And he was physically attacked as well in his body. And yet he didn't lose faith in God. Not knowing why the trials were happening, he didn't have explanations for what was going on in his life. He cried out to God, but it seemed that God wasn't listening at times. But through it all, even as these verses indicate, he appreciates that God is in control and that when he comes out the other side of the ringer, that he will be the better person for it. He'll be closer to God. He'll be more dependent on him. He'll be more useful to him. Many of the material things that once seemed important paled into insignificance compared with the value of his relationships. His children who were taken away from him. The dross of life was peeled away and revealed the vital realities of his life. And trials can do that in your life. It can cause you to realign your priorities, to reevaluate what's important in your life, to home in on those important issues in your relationship with God and with others around you. The fifth thing that trials teach us is that they make us more zealous for sharing the good news of the gospel. In the book of Acts, we see the early church was expanding and growing rapidly. And we see some of the activities of the apostles and disciples. And see what took place in their lives. And we read of some of those events here in Acts chapter 4 and Acts chapter 5. In Acts chapter 4, verse 29, as they were facing the apostles, Peter and others who were being challenged about what they were doing and facing some persecution, they were praying and they said, "Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." So these leaders and other believers there were going through very difficult and challenging times in the early church. They were facing danger to their life. They were thrown in prison. And yet their desire was that others might hear and understand the good news about Jesus Christ. And so they said, "Lord, may you increase our boldness even as we go through these difficult times." In chapter 5 and verse 27 to 29, "And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, 'Did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us.' But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, 'We ought to obey God rather than men.'" Their desire was to put God first in everything, despite what the opposition brought them. And then over in chapter 8, verses 3 and 4. "And as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word." So rather than making them become insular and isolated and hiding away from the opposition, they became more bold to proclaim Jesus Christ. And when we're going through hardships and it pairs back those things that are not important in life, makes us realise the value and importance of letting others know about the good news of Jesus. Extreme trials and crises in life help us value those aspects of our lives that are truly important. They help to crystallise in our minds what things are of paramount value, people, and what things are only of secondary importance, material possessions. I remember conducting a funeral in Western Australia when we were over there for a young man who died in a car accident, and how it crystallised his peers in understanding that life can be short. He was only 19 years of age. And it made them face up to the reality that life is not going to go on endlessly on this earth, and that we don't always live as long as we think we might. And the importance of being right with God is paramount. And at least for a short period of time, people had to face up to their own mortality, that life isn't endless on earth. It's not even as long as we hope for. Therefore, this should give us impetus to take opportunities of sharing that good news of Jesus Christ with our friends and our relatives while time permits. Don't throw in the towel when you go through seemingly unbearable trials. Realise that useful, vital lessons can be learnt from your hardships, from your challenges, from your difficulties, from your trials. The God will teach us some of the greatest lessons of faith through the crucible of suffering, the bewilderment of pain, and the loneliness of isolation. The trials can teach you to rest more fully on the Lord, to pray more fervently, to live more transparently before others, and to gaze more expectantly for the Lord's return. And always remember that God is with you through every situation. Just going to close with a song by a lady called Christine Wurtson. She wrote this song many years ago. It's called The Fire. It goes like this. She says, "I've been through a fire that has deepened my desire to know the living God more and more. It hasn't been much fun, but the work that it has done in my life has been worth the hurt. You see, sometimes we need the hard times to bring us to our knees. Otherwise, we do as we please and never heed him. For he always knows what's best, and it's when we are distressed that we really come to know God as he is." May we learn and grow through the trials that God allows in our life. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you that you've given us life itself and you've given us eternal life in Jesus Christ. And yet, Lord, there's many hard times that we face through life's journey. It's not an easy road. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to see you in the midst of all of that, that we could gaze upon you, we could trust you, we could depend upon you. When there's things falling down around us, when there's hardships causing us pain and suffering, when there's misunderstandings, when we don't know what's ahead of us, that we will just learn to depend upon you and trust you for what the future holds. Thank you that you're with us through every situation. There's no experience that we face alone. And Lord, thank you for the development of our faith and our character as we go through those difficult times of life. Help us not to shun them in the sense that we try to escape, but to allow you to teach us the lessons that you want us through those times of our lives. Lord, give us courage and commitment, perseverance and patience and hope as we go through these challenges of life that can cause grief to us. We thank you for your presence with us in Jesus' name. Amen.